kind of want to go with. And I believe that's the way that the Lord wants us to go. I'm going to take most of our reading this morning out of the Gospel of Luke. And with our help, Lord being our help, I want to look over in the 9th chapter to start with our text. And then we'll be going over to the 19th chapter. This morning, I want you to know that that we look at the transfiguration of Christ and how He had took up Peter and John and James with Him up into the mountain there to pray. And that the Bible talks about as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered and the raiment was white and glistening. And as He took on this appearance, that His countenance was changed. And it goes on there a little bit in our text, and it talks about the different things. And I'm not necessarily want to go to, I want to talk about whereabouts they was. And we know there that He had taken them up into the mountain. But it talks about here in the 50th verse, and it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready for Him, and they that did not receive Him, because His face was as though He should go to Jerusalem. And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt Thou that we should command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But He turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." And I want to stop there for just a moment. And the verse here, and with the Lord's help, we'll get over there where we need to go in Luke in just a moment. But it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go towards Jerusalem." And this morning, as we look here at Palm Sunday, I guess you could say that we as God's people recognize Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This morning, I want you to know that here, as He had taken up James and John and Peter up into the mountain there of the Transfiguration, that as He come back down, that He set His face towards Jerusalem. And this morning, I want you to understand something that as we look here, and I want to look over here in Zechariah in the 9th chapter for just a moment. And it says in the 9th verse, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt of a foal of a donkey." Zechariah had made mention long ago, so many years prior unto this, that there would be a king that would come. And I want you to know this morning that we are still, as God's people, recognizing Him as our King. And yet He still reigns over us this morning. And I want you to know that we serve a living King, that He is alive this morning. We're not serving some dead God, but yet He is alive. And here it is that it says that He set His face towards Jerusalem. Now, the way I understand it, this would have been about 4 months before His entering in to Jerusalem. He had a notion, if you will, that he had needs to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go that way. And the scripture teaches us that he was go through and enter into a village of Samaria and make him ready, but they did not receive him. And this morning I want you to know that we still live in a world that is not willing to receive Jesus Christ. We still live in that world today. We still see a world today that does not see Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He began to look yonder at Jerusalem. He began to make Himself ready to go. And He said, I've got needs to go that way. And He set His face to go that way. He said, I know why I'm going and I know why I'm headed to go that way. He knew that he was going to die. And yet he set his face to go towards Jerusalem. He sails over here, if you will, in the Gospel of in 19th chapter of Luke. I want to read over here. It says, pray for us this morning. In the 29th verse, it says, and it come to pass, when he come nigh unto Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon ye never a man sit, and loose him, and bring him thither. And if man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And when they were sent, there went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosed the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus and cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, and descend into the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if theirs should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I want to stop there for just a moment this morning. When we look here at what has taken place, just a few days prior to this, Jesus had went into Bethany there, and we know the story of Lazarus and how he was raised up. And Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And we know that people began to talk. That was something miraculous that had taken place, that a man that had been dead 4 days, now he's alive. And people began to talk about this stuff. I mean, could you imagine what the city was talking about? Hey, there's a man over there named Jesus, and he's went over there to Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead, and now he's alive. And people began to talk. They began to wonder, who is this Jesus? What's he about? Who is he? He's a man has risen from the dead. Folks began to talk. It wasn't all that far from Jerusalem. This even at the time, the Pharisees began to seek out a way even that they might even kill Lazarus, because there was so much talk that was going on. Here it is. We find here that about 6 days or so, if you will, that he came and made his presence there, there in Bethany again. And 5 days before the Passover, he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. 5 days. He told them over there, he said, go into a village over against you, in which ye shall enter, and find a colt tied, whereon a man has never set, and loose him, and bring him thither. I thought this morning a little bit about what God was asking him to do. And even beyond that, as we look back some months prior to this, that he had set his face to go towards Jerusalem. Jesus Christ knew what he come into this world for. He knew what responsibility lay upon his shoulders. He knew what he was going to have to go through. He knew that in the end, that his life would be required of him. And yet he still had needs to go. So much so that even as he was there and he was teaching, and even all of this, his disciples couldn't understand just in who and what he really was. They couldn't comprehend it. Even his disciples, that James and John that was there, said, Lord, these Samaritans, they don't want you to come into this city. How about we just go ahead and cast judgment upon them here? How about we just destroy them? And Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. The problem was, even through Isaiah and Zechariah, that Isaiah had promised one that would come 750 years before the coming of Christ, before he was ever born, Isaiah said, there shall be one that shall come, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He shall be a counselor. He shall be a governor among the people. 750 years. Zechariah said, behold, rejoice. He said, thy king cometh. Jerusalem was wanting a king that would restore them to their former glory. They were wanting a king that would come in riding upon a horse that would cause war, if you will, that would come in and restore their kingdom. They wanted a king that was different, that was a man, if you would, like David was. They weren't looking for the kind of king there that Jesus was. Yes, they had seen and heard about the miracles that he had done to Lazarus, but yet they were hoping that he would come in and tear down everything Rome was trying to do. The Romans were trying to do. He tells them, he says, go ye into the village over against you, in which ye enter, and find a colt tied, wherein ye never a man has set, and loose him, and bring him thither. When God has a purpose, God knows what he's doing. This morning I want you to know, when God has instruction for us to do something, God already has a plan set in motion. And he hears and he tells him, he says, you find, he said, if any man ask you why you've loosed him, he said, thou shalt say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. This morning, a lot of times we get in a mix of God's people. Lord, why is this happening? Or Lord, why is that happening? My friend, as God's people, we just have to let go and let God this morning. God has something set in motion long before me and you ever come into existence. I'm going to do a miserable job this morning, but honey, I want you to understand who I'm trying to tell you about. I want you to know this morning who I'm trying to declare to you. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus, if we were to look at that meaning, means that Jehovah is salvation. You can look back through the other accounts of the Gospels, and as he entered into that city, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, thy son of David, meaning, oh, save, when he entered into that city. And he said they were sent their way and found even as he had said unto them, as were loosing the coats. He said, the owners thereof unto them, he said, why loose ye the colt? And said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him unto Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat and set Jesus thereon. I want you to look back over here with me for a moment. And I told you they couldn't understand what was going on here. But he said, Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he said, it come to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't turn back. When he put his face towards Jerusalem, he had means to go towards Jerusalem. He knew what was coming towards him. And yet they still didn't understand. They were looking towards a temporal king. They were looking for one that would restore them to their former glory. And yet they began to take off their garments and to place it there on that donkey. And my friend, I've oftentimes wondered about that old donkey and the representation of it this morning. And I know that I'll do a miserable job of it. But that donkey, I want you to know this morning, carried one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given to this world. One of the greatest things that's ever been given. You think about a king. When I've never met a king in person. I've heard about him. I've read about him. But the greatest king that's ever lived came riding into his capital there in Jerusalem upon a donkey. Of all things, when you think about what we drive and what we have and all the common things that we've got, and here the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came riding in on a donkey. An animal that was meant for manual labor. An animal that God had raised up and bred that he was to pack a heavy load. That was what he was bred for. He was bred to pack a heavy burden, a heavy load. That's what that animal was bred for. My friend, as Jesus Christ come there into Jerusalem, can you imagine? Can you even begin to comprehend the heavy burden that donkey was carrying on him? There he was. They began to take their garments and cast them out there on the street. They began to take palm leaves. They said, and they went and they spread their clothes in a way. And when he was come nigh, now even the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and the glory of the highest. My friend, I want you to understand something this morning that they couldn't see, they couldn't understand what they had just right there in front of them. John tells us that he came into his own and his own received him not. He wasn't the king that they wanted. He was meek and he was lonely. He was humble. He was the Son of God. He was without sin. He came into this world and they didn't really want him. They wanted something else. They wanted something that would restore them. They just didn't realize that he was right there in front of them. He said, the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus made his triumphal entry. I want to read this again, what Zechariah says. He said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lonely, and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt of the foal of a donkey. He said, rejoice greatly. This morning, I want you to understand something. To me, there's two really, really big times in the year that we as God's people really need to really just get down. You know, I'm talking about really at the best that we can. I call them the Super Bowls of the Christian faith. Easter and Christmas. Now, I don't know how many people tune in to the big Super Bowl every year. Millions and millions and millions of people. And I ain't down in that. If that's your thing, it's not mine. But folks, I'm telling you, there's something far greater than that. Something far greater than anything we can ever imagine. And no, I've never seen Him with my visible eye. I've never heard Him with my audible voice. But He is my King. He is my Lord. And I want you to know this morning that as He came there into Jerusalem, that He began to teach and even went up into the temple and all of these things had come to pass. And even beyond all of that, that as He was there, knowing what was going to come to pass, all the heavy weight, all the heavy burden that was behind Him, and even though that His disciples didn't understand, I want to read to you over here. And it says over here in the 18th chapter, He said, then He took unto Him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto Galilee.